thoroughfare that threaded through all the tiny beach towns before eventually making a sharp right turn at Treasure Island Causeway, heading east toward downtown St. Pete. A clutch of giggling teenage girls, spring breakers, probably, dressed in bikini tops and microscopic neon bright shorts with the waistbands rolled down to their navels, approached on the sidewalk, headed in the opposite direction, and made an elaborate show of sidestepping her. She heard a quavery voice behind her.
"Excuse me, darling."
She turned her head to see an elderly man, his bony, bare chest glistening with sweat, power past, pumping small dumbbells in each hand. She squinted and saw, just half a block ahead, the shaded bus shelter. Thank God. She wasn't sure if she could walk much farther. Half a block, though. That she could do. She picked up the pace, trying to ignore the red-hot stabbing pain in her knee. Ring, ring, a bike's bell, and then a booming woman's voice. On your left. She stumbled over her flip-flop and toppled onto the grassy verge just in time to avoid being mowed down by a white-haired octogenarian wearing wraparound sunglasses and a Tampa Bay Rays sun visor furiously pedaling past on an adult tricycle. Hey, Drew yelled after her. Get on the bike path. Up yours, the woman called, turning around briefly to flip her the bird. As she struggled to her feet, she saw, almost in slow motion, the city bus passing her by. She winced in pain, but also at the ad emblazoned along the side of the bus. Slip and fall? Give Bryce a call. The ad was accompanied by a 5-foot-tall, airbrush-enhanced color portrait of W. Bryce Campbell, arms crossed defiantly, his chiseled chin jutting pugnaciously, a stance Drew knew all too well. The bus slowed momentarily at the bus stop. The air brakes whooshed. Stay there, Drew muttered. Stay right there. She broke into her current version of a run, a lopsided, sorry, limping affair. A young Hispanic woman stepped off the bus, turned, and waved goodbye to the driver. Hey! Drew yelled breathlessly, closing the gap, now maybe only 3 bus lengths away. She waved her arms over her head. Hey! The woman turned and gave the stranger a hesitant smile. Hey! The bus's brakes whooshed again, and it started to move. Tell him to stop, Drew cried. Tell him to wait! But it was too late. The bus picked up speed. It moved on. The woman stood by the bus shelter. She was dressed in a gray and white uniform smock, her name Sonia, embroidered above her left breast. Sorry, she said softly as Drew approached, limping badly. Are you okay? Drew grasped the back of the bench as she tried to regain her breath. The bench was painted blue and white, with the Campbell, Cox, and Cramner signature logo superimposed across Bryce Campbell's visage. Have a wreck? We'll get your check. No, Drew managed as she collapsed onto the bench. She jumped up immediately, gingerly extracting a 1/2-inch wood splinter protruding from her right butt cheek. No, definitely not okay. She looked down at the screen-printed face of Bryce W. Campbell, her new boss, her long-lost father, and, as always, a major pain in the ass. A job in his law firm had been the very last thing Drew had wanted from her long-estranged father. But what choice did she have? That 5-second mid-air kiteboard collision 3 months earlier and her mother's subsequent death only reinforced the fact that she no longer had any reason to stay in Fort Lauderdale. Drew had been adrift, self-medicating with tequila and Advil, and wallowing in self-pity on the day of her mother's funeral. As she was leaving the memorial service, with the bronze urn containing Sherry's remains tucked under her arm, she'd been shocked.